Iron Man. Bloodthirsty. Pacifist. You're listening to the WoW Challenges podcast, the home of the Iron Man Challenge. And here are your hosts, Stone and Lita.
Hello and welcome to the WoW Challenges podcast, episode number 12. Today is Saturday, March the 26th, 2016. I am your host, Stone, and joining me is my co-host, Lita. Lita, how are you doing?
Hey, I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing good. I don't know, man. The brain just don't work, dude.
Jeez. totally understand. But we've got another show this week, and I have to say that we've got a very special guest, and we are joined by Asmund Gold. So hey, welcome.
What's going on? I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, we're very thrilled to have you here, and we're going to have a little chat with you to find out a little bit more about you. So first off, tell us about yourself, the player behind the character.
I'm 25. I live in Austin, Texas, and I started making videos about 2 years ago on this channel that I have now. And ever since then, I've just been pretty much doing pretty much what I'm doing now, except for progressively better, hopefully. And I started the Iron Man Challenge about, I don't know. Has it been 6 months ago? It's been a while. Right. And, except for one little bump in the road that I think a lot of people know about, everything has been going pretty smoothly. We've had some bad things happen. I'll tell you guys the truth. And y'all are going to see one of those in my next week's episode. I told you guys about that, right?
Yep.
Yes, I did. So, yeah, y'all know. And Iron Man has been very exciting. I'll tell you guys the truth. I've really enjoyed it. And the reason for that, I think, is because it gets me to go back and, you know, not using any gear, not having any of that stuff. It really kind of gives you the same feel that we used to get back in Vanilla, back in Burning Crusade, whenever they didn't have all the heirlooms, whenever they didn't have all the other stuff. Yep. You know, and the leveling actually took a while. You know, and I think that the Iron Man recaptures that in a certain way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So you were saying you started Iron Man about 6 months ago, but how long have you actually been playing WoW itself?
I started in July of 2006, and I've taken breaks to play Diablo. I've been playing Black Desert a lot now, but really I've played the game pretty much steady ever since then, and pretty hardcore also. Like, I'm not really a casual player in anything I do. Anything I do is going to be hardcore. And so, yep. I've played it, I guess, for nearly 10 years. It's going to be 10 years and 4 months here. So that's going to be pretty crazy. It was right after my 16th birthday. And it's been an adventure. I'll tell you guys the truth. Yeah. It's been a real adventure.
Wow.
Oh, awesome. So then how did you get onto about the Iron Man Challenge? Where did that come from? Where did you see that?
Well, I saw a buddy of mine, Lazy Peon. He's another guy that makes videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't like to say the word YouTuber. He was doing the challenge, and I was like, hey, this is a good idea, and, you know, Warlords of Draenor has no content, so why don't I do the Iron Man challenge and see what people think? The first few episodes, I got the best reception ever, and I've still got, like, a really core audience of people who watch every single episode. Mm-hmm. They really enjoy it. They send me mail. If you guys have seen the mail, like, you understand, like, yep, how weird those people are, but it's been a really, really great and exciting thing to do, and focus on the exciting. Like, honestly, if it wasn't for the death requirement, the no death requirement, this thing would be no big deal. I'd be having so much fun. Like, you guys can see at the first beginning episodes, like, I'm having fun just hitting buttons, jumping around, hopping around, doing spinny jumps, tabbing out on Facebook, sending messages to people, turning out jokes, you know, everything like that. Yeah. And then whenever we get up to like level 50, level 60, I gotta focus the fuck up, you know. Like, that's real. Oh, I do apologize for saying that. I just remember that I'm not supposed to say.
Don't worry,
bad.
Don't worry.
But anyway, I have to focus up. All right, I have to focus up. Yeah. A lot, and that's definitely what the Iron Man Challenge has taught me to do. You know, whenever there's just one mistake, and you're done. And, you know, I completed Hardcore Inferno and Diablo, and that's basically the same thing. So it's not like I'm, you know, alien to the whole idea of doing things with, like, you know, like one life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not really, like, I'm a very sloppy player. And so it's definitely taken me a completely different type of play style. And as the challenge has gone up and the stakes have gotten higher, I've just had to focus more and more on it. You know, and it's just, you know, as I said, like, there's not as many jokes now because focus. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's nice. Pretty much where I'm coming from.
Okay. All right. So for you, what class races combinations have you tried, and what have you found? Like, what's your highest level race combo at the moment?
Well, I tried a human hunter with brown hair, or sorry, black hair, and then he died. And then I tried another human hunter, and now his hair is brown and he's bald on the top.
Okay.
So that those have been the two different. I like to switch it up, you know.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I've been doing. I think the hunter gives me the best chance of completing the challenge. They have the most tools and utility to deal with pretty much anything that the game's going to throw at you, along with Feigned Death, Distracting Shot, Concussive Shot, you know, having the pet in itself, and Deterrence now that I'm 78. I'm actually 82 now, but at 78 I got Deterrence. And so there are a lot of, I guess, like things that you have to deal with different situations that I think that other classes don't really have access to unless they choose a spec, and also some of them don't have access to them at all. If I didn't play a hunter, I probably would do a druid or also potentially a warlock, and in that case, I would definitely have to play a night elf because the shadow meld is just too strong.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, for you, has... thinking about your toon, do you think ahead? Like, what I want to know is, are you planning on other, you know, trying Bloodthirsty or any other challenge, or you just purely focus on the current one that you're leveling?
I focus entirely on what's in front of me, and I don't want to distract myself with, like, doing the Bloodthirsty thing. Honestly, like, one of the main things I do this for is for entertainment for my viewers and everything, and I would have still done the challenge regardless of, you know, having my channel or anything, because, you know, I think that whenever Legion comes out and specs are automatically given to you, it's going to make the Iron Man challenge significantly easier. And so I do want to be able to say that I've done it before that. And, you know, but really, like, when I wake up the day that I do the Iron Man challenge, which is today's, not today, well, on Saturdays, and I wake up and I think about that all fucking morning until I do it, you know, and that's it. You know, that's all I do, and I focus on that. And the reason for that is because, you know, I have all of these quests, you know, I've got them all in my head, basically. But the truth is that, you know, I can make mistakes. Like, I have a very good memory. I've memorized pretty much all of the entire quest lines for all of the zones. But the Cataclysm place is the one spot that there's, like, a gap in my memory. And so I'm going through that right now, and it's extremely nerve-wracking and extremely difficult. So that's really the main thing, is that making sure that, you know, you do have things ahead of you. And I know that some people use, I think, what you guys call scouts. And that's like a character that goes ahead and does things beforehand. And I've checked out a couple of things. I wanted to check and make sure that the shoulders or guards weren't attackable, but that wasn't really an issue. So, I mean, really the truth is that I haven't really had to do too much scouting ahead because I've leveled up many characters before, and I kind of have, like, the route that I take, you know, in my head. I've done War Master, I think, twice now. So, you know, all that stuff isn't really as much of an issue for me now. But after I complete the Iron Man challenge and not finish, I said complete, by the way, optimism. I'm probably gonna, I might do the Bloodthirsty thing at some point, but as I said before, I think that really it wouldn't be as entertaining for viewers because there's not really as many scenery changes or anything, but it would be interesting to see how things played out. I think that if anything, it would just be a more tedious version of the Iron Man challenge, because the real challenge of the Iron Man, I believe, is having to deal with the different quest mobs and changing scenery, you know, killing bears in the forest. I mean, Cartman could do that in 2006, right? So it's not really too big of a deal.
Okay. So what has been your fondest Iron Toon memory so far, like, with everything that you've done?
Honestly, getting Ass Mongler 2 up to level 50. So the first time, you know, I was going up to 50, everything was fine. And then I did end up getting killed by an invisible Incineroar in Searing Gorge. And there wasn't really much I could have done about that. You know, there were potential things that I might have been able to do to counteract that, but the damage didn't show up in a combat log. And so, I mean, really, there's no really way to make sure or be certain that anything I could have done would have worked. So really the big thing was, you know, after that happened, I went right over there in that sofa mattress that's on the floor, and I lay down there, and I felt like just the biggest piece of, you know. And, you know, I felt so bad, and I went to bed that night, and I was like, man, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I don't want to let everybody down, because everybody loves this series. And so, you know, I kind of had two options. I could just kind of quit this challenge, or I had three. I could just say, hey, that was a fluke. We're going to keep going, and ignore the death. And, you know, I wouldn't show up on the leaderboards, and, you know, Blizzard wouldn't revert the death. And even if they did, it just wouldn't really be the same. And, you know, at this, and so then I went to bed, and I woke up, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it again. And I leveled my character in 2 days. In 2 days, I went all the way up from 1 to 50. And people ask how you do it. It's easy. You just log on. You don't log off. Like, that's easy. Goodness. I mean, I don't know how anybody's saying that's hard. It's easy. You just play until you're there. Yeah. It's easy. I think it was episode 11. Making that episode, and, you know, going against, you know, all of the challenges and obstacles that were putting forth in front of me, and moving forward and actually succeeding and going forward with it, was probably the best memory I have, just because of what it meant to me. You know, it's always a good feeling to triumph over adversity.
Okay. All right. So for you, you were talking about, you've got the path that you're following within your head. So can you give me, like, just a brief outline of what zones that you like to travel through from level one up to where you are currently? What kind of zone route are you most happy with so far?
How intense do you want me to be with this?
You go with whatever you'd like to tell me.
So I start at level one. I do all the Northshire quests. I go over to the Murlocs. I kill the Murlocs until level 10. At level 10, I go over and I kill Hogger. And then I also do the thing with the painted Null Bands. There's 9 Null Bands. I have to get those. Sometimes there's also another mob in that area that's a rare spawn. I kill that rare spawn potentially. I fly back. I actually go over to the, I do all the Westfall quests up to wherever you have to talk to the Horatio guy. That's a, some sort of, I don't know, like Easter egg from a show. And then you're going to reach the first farmstead, and then you fly back to the Goldshire, because there's now a flight path there. I turn in the Hogger quest, I fly back, and that allows me also to buy any gear that I wasn't able to afford before then. After that, I go over to Sentinel Hill, and then, well, actually, I come back, I go down, and I kill the Murlocs and also the Gnolls that I have to do right there. And then I will pick up a treasure map. And that treasure map will lead me all the way over to the other side of the zone, which I will have to deal with after I do the Moonshire quest, which are actually very easy to do. So then I go over to Sentinel Hill, and on the way over to Sentinel Hill, I do Saldian's Farm, where I have to kill 15 Harvest Golems. And then after that, I go all the way over to the second farm, kill all of those other mobs. And another thing with that is sometimes you can kill some of those mobs with the Harvest Golem that you're able to get into, and they will actually give you experience. So that's a good way for me to catch up. And at a certain point, if I'm a little bit behind in levels, then after that, there's also another rare spawn ghoul that's in a little cage area.
How do you keep this all in your head, man?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know. It's amazing.
That's why I asked you if you guys wanted me to go in.
Yeah,
but how do you keep it all in your head?
Yeah, because this,
like,
helps.
I could never remember all that stuff.
Remember how I said I played the game for 10 years?
Oh, man.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's just to level 15. That's just level 15. Yeah. And it goes into, you know, but I mean, basically, I go from Westfall to Darkshire to Stranglethorn to Lower Stranglethorn. And then after that, it takes me all the way up to Western Plaguelands. I do the Anderhall quests, which were very, very hairy. Like, I almost died there. It was just really, really bad. And it was actually a player error on my part. And then I'll go over to Eastern Plaguelands, and then that'll take me down to the Badlands. I spend as little time in the Badlands as possible because of the quests in the New Kargath area, where if you get too close to them, the guards will kill you. That happened to Soda Poppin, and so you definitely don't want to have that happen. So you also have to fight with these three dwarfs that are a Easter egg from the Lost Vikings, which was Blizzard's one of their first games that was released for. Computers and Super Nintendo, because I have it right over there. And though they can despawn on you if you move out of the wrong area, and also they replace your pet. So I didn't really spend too much time doing that. And then, so after I get up to, I think it's 45 or 46, then I will move over to Searing Gorge, do pretty much everything in that area up until the point where I have to go to that second area where the Incendiosaurs are. Do not want to have to deal with that. And then at that point, I moved over to Burning Steps, did all the Burning Steps quests, every single one. Then I moved over to Swamp of Sorrows, did all of those quests, and then because I wasn't sure the way that the phasing was supposed to work with the new Iron Horde invasion, I guess like phase of Blasted Lands, I didn't know what would happen, so I opted to go over to Winterspring because people just kind of wanted to change the pace from the fiery, dark, lava stuff, and so I went over to Winterspring, I got level 60 there, went over to Hellfire Peninsula, did all of those quests, that was no big deal except for Xaneas the Cruel, no, not Xaneas the Cruel. Is it Asnoth the Merciless? I'm not entirely sure, but it's the guy in the Pits of Aggramar, and he has like 6,000 health, and at that level, it's very hard to deal with. And he also casts a Pyroblast and two other abilities, that are very hard to deal with. And so they can almost one-shot your pet. Very, very dangerous to deal with. Then I went over to Zangar Marsh. Zangar Marsh is very, very good to level in. A number of reasons for that. Killing some of the mobs in there automatically gives you buffs, which is actually within the rules. And also doing some of the quests also give you buffs, which is also, again, within the rules. And so aside from doing the quests over with the broken ones, where you have to actually talk to the elite and go in there and potentially aggro him unless you're level 63 or higher, you can potentially have an issue with that. But he's also CC-able, and so you can do that. Okay. Then I did all of the Zangar Marsh quests, move over to Terrakar Forest. My memory on Terrakar Forest wasn't really very strong, and so I didn't really spend too much time there, and the time I did spend there was very, very inefficient. Then I move over to Nagrand, and Nagrand is a very, very good leveling spot, probably the best, in my opinion. But there are some mobs there, like the Ogre Spearmen, the first part. They're very, very hard to deal with because the spear throw they have is not scaled down and it does about 1,500 damage. It's not killing, but I was lucky enough to be in there whenever somebody had already done the area beforehand, and so I was able to get in there, only have to fight one, and it wasn't too much of an issue. Then I went over to Blade's Edge Mountains. There were a lot of bugs with the quests there, and also there were some elites there that I didn't really want to have to deal with, so I moved over to Netherstorm and finished up the quests there. Netherstorm does have a couple of group quests that you have to watch out for, and a number of other things, but really Netherstorm was very, very quick leveling, even though the areas were higher. Then I went into Northrend. I did all of Borean Tundra. I did not do Howling Fjord, because one of the reasons for that is there's a quest where the Lich King comes up to you, and in the RP event, he kills you. And so I didn't want to have to deal with that. One of the big problems with doing Borean Tundra was in the Kaldara area. They're the giant Nexus Watchers, which are the 80 elite dragons. And so before I went in there, I got leveled up as high as possible to reduce my potential aggro radius to the smallest possible. And I was able to clear out that entire area. And I actually had my computer entirely crash whenever I was in Kaldara. And I was amazed that I came back and I wasn't dead. But we were safe. Everything was fine. And after that, I did not do the Last Rites quest because Prince Kelseth, who's the last boss in the Last Rites quest, on top of the Necropolis, does a ability that reflects your damage. And so I didn't want to have to deal with that. And even though you do have people helping you, I don't entirely remember what all of his other abilities were. And I wasn't really confident in doing that. Moved over to Dragonblight. Did pretty much every single quest in Dragonblight except for one quest with the Scarlet guys. And I didn't do that because it just really wasn't worth it. And then I moved over to Grizzly Hills. One thing that everybody should watch out for in Grizzly Hills is the Frostpaw Trappers, which are the Firbolgs that are around the World Tree in the middle of the map. And those Frostpaw Trappers have an ability called Aimshot that's not scaled down. It does 15,000 damage. It will one-shot any character. So I avoided that area. I went all the way around that area. And then I did the Westfall Brigade questline, and then I was doing the questline down at the bottom, and I didn't want to do the Harrison Jones questline, and the reason for that is there's also another Shadow Realm element of that, and I don't remember if it killed you or not, but I didn't want to have to take a chance, and I knew I wouldn't have to, because I still had Zul'drak and Strolazar Basin to do after that. But then I had a Rune Giant. Like, you guys, I don't know. You guys
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that?
Oh, yep, I was like, oh my boy. Yeah,
that was ridiculous. And so I had a Rune Giant spawn on top of me. The first hit was a critical hit. It did over half my health in one hit. I was able to survive through that. Yep. And then I said, okay, well, I'll stay right at the right at the edges, because I knew their spawn points wouldn't be in that area. And then I had one spawn that was right outside my aggro range. I was actually surprised I didn't aggro it. And at that point, I said, you know what? Maybe this isn't worth it. And I did the quest for the Dark Iron Dwarves up at the top area. And then after that, I finished that up, which was actually very easy. And also another very good place where you can kind of catch up on levels, because the last place where you have to actually use the robot, you're able to use that robot and kill mobs, and the mobs still grant you experience, and killing them with the robot's very easy. Then I moved over to Zul'drak, and Zul'drak is another place that I was very nervous about because of the Jakuru quests. And a big thing with those is that your disguise can fall off at any point in time. So I really didn't want to have that happen. So I pretty much skipped all of the Voltarius Jakuru quests and moved over and pretty much did everything else. That took me all the way up to 80, but I was willing to go over to Strolazar Basin, and I would have done everything up to the point where you have to kill the little Oracle hatchling. Is it the Oracle one? Yes, it's the Oracle one. And then you have to deal with the Frenzy Heart guys. And that was kind of making me a little bit nervous because I don't really remember what elites were passive and what elites were not passive, because you're dealing with like kind of warring factions. So I didn't want to have to deal with that. And also I was worried that the Nesting Worry game expedition wardens out there, like kind of the guards for the city. They would be neutral, and so you'd be able to accidentally attack them. And because my mouse has a messed up button, I thought that could potentially happen. So I checked over there. That's actually not the case. So anybody can do that. It's not the way it is in the Northern Stranglethorn area. So that's not a problem either. And I was able to get to level 80 at that point. And then I move over to Hyjal. I'm going to be doing all the quests in Hyjal up to where I have to talk to and deal with Jared Shadowsong. And at that point, I might reevaluate my decision and potentially get a summon over to Deepholm, because the quest line that takes you over to Deepholm is bugged out, and sometimes whenever you go into Deepholm, you can fall off and die. So I might literally just kill bears all the way up to 84. Point I can pick up the quest line. Yo, that's no big deal for me. I'm playing Black Desert. Like it's nothing. Like, this is nothing. Like, I farm like 5 hours in that game, and I get 3% experience. Killing boars for 5 hours for a whole level is nothing. Like, that's the easy part, you know. And then I'll go over to over to Stormwind, and then I'll do the Otto and Warren quests. And I'm kind of a little bit worried about fighting Admiral? Is it Admiral Samuelson? I'm not really sure, but he turns into one of the Forgotten One Old Gods guys. Yeah. And then after you kill him, you get your quest, the Breadcrumb quest, to take over to Twilight Highlands, which, because those mobs are level 84, there's obviously a higher risk there, and so I want to spend as little time in that place as possible. So I was hoping to hit level 85 in Deepholm. After I hit level 85 in Deepholm, I'm going to go over to Jade Forest, and I'm going to pretty much do everything in Jade Forest, or half of everything in Jade Forest, because I never finished that entire quest line. Just where the Shah breaks down that huge building, and that's where I'm going to stop. I'm going to do the Jinyu quests and everything. Then I'm going to move over to what's the area? Valley of the Four Winds. And I'm going to do everything there, and that should really be no big deal, and that should take me all the way up to 90 with the different quest changes. But I could also do some of the quests over in Kunlai Summit. In Townlong Steps, there's a certain mob that, like, whenever you first go in there, those, like, Tauren type guys, one of their abilities, I think it's the melee type guys, is not scaled down, and so I want to avoid that area entirely. So that will take me all the way up to 90. At that point, I will go over to Timeless Isle, and there's a secret underwater cave, and you can go into that cave, and that will take you all the way up to Gorgrond, and then I will be able to fly from Gorgrond all the way over to all the way over to Lunarfall, talk to Valen. And then I'm going to do 90 to 93 in I'm going to do everything. It's up to the point to where Valen I'm probably not going to do the point where Valen sacrifices itself, and I'm also going to stop at the point where you have to use the Elixir of Clarity after you gather all the materials in the second quest area in Shadowmoon Valley. So after I do that, that will probably take me to 93. That's usually what I do on my normal leveling patterns. And so since I will have full rested experience, that will probably counteract the heirloom experience that I would potentially get because I will be picking up all of the treasures. So then I'll go over to Gorgrond. I will clear out everything there. I'll be able to get the Shredder, and that'll allow me to have like an oh shit button. And that will also allow me to kill all of the other elites that, you know, the eight elites that are in that area for the monsters of Gorgrond. And so that's each one a like another 20,000 experience bonus. And then I will also do Talador, which will allow me to have the artillery strike, which is another, you know, basically get a jail free card. And that has three charges. And so it makes it very easy to kill any quest mob or anything that's going to give you any trouble. But I might actually just stay in Gorgrond because of the added security of having the Shredder. And so that will take me to 100. How about that?
Boom.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
I wish that you had a mic and you could just drop it. Because, holy crud.
Yeah. That sounds, wow.
I'm really glad that you have planned this out, because I know there's lots of people that try it just to give it a go, but they don't really plan for that long term, right?
They're casuals, man. They're casuals. You know, they're not going to get past like level 30. And like I've got 1 to 60 also mapped out too. Like you know, like what I said at the beginning. Like I was just 1 to 15, and so I've got the whole thing mapped out in my head. And I didn't really plan it out. It's just I just thought about what would work and what wouldn't.
Yeah.
But you know, that's like kind of the product of going through those levels a lot of times.
Wow. Yeah.
So there we are.
Hmm. Okay, so then with everything that you've done so far, what zone for you has, do you think, been the most unfriendly to doing a challenge turn?
Well, I would say probably, that's really kind of hard to say, but it could maybe be the Swamp of Sorrows, because there are some mobs in there that have three different attacks, and they can take you to about 20% health in like 1 second. And also there are some phasing issues with that area. And I could also say it would maybe be the Badlands, because again, the three Lost Vikings guys can despawn on you if you move too far away while you're fighting the elite dragons. And so that's obviously going to be an instant death. And also there's the new Kargath area, and also the Horde camp that's right in the middle of the excavation. So there are a lot of places like that. But really, I mean, if I had to say one zone... it's like I kind of want to say Searing Gorge because of the Incendosaurus. But besides that, I would say probably like Swamp of Sorrows or something. But really, Blade's Edge Mountains was also pretty rough.
Okay.
It's hard to really say. It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
The real challenge in the Iron Man challenge is not necessarily any specific quest, any specific guy, any specific anything. It's really, in my opinion, being able to do the thing and go through it without making any mistakes. And, you know, with something like that, and mistakes also, I would categorize not knowing what you're doing ahead of time as a mistake. So that's pretty much the way that I look at it. Now, obviously, you know, other people might have trouble with different stuff. You know, people who aren't hunters might have more trouble. But honestly, there's no real specific zone that's difficult. It's really, you know, managing fatigue, not getting lazy, you know, everything like that. That's the real challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for you, if you had to give some advice to people who are wanting to try the challenge for the first time, what would be your biggest amount of advice that you would be? Is plan ahead or
three things.
Look at something else?
Memorize every single quest.
Yep.
Memorize all the rare spawn locations. Don't make any mistakes. Period. Like it's not any more complicated than that. Oh, four? Roll a hunter. come on, let's be real. Yeah, honestly, that's what it comes down to. Is it just making sure that you know what's going to happen before it happens? that, I mean, because you think about it, like, if you knew the future, nothing would ever go wrong, right?
Yep.
So is the closer you can get to knowing what exactly will happen, the better your chances are to succeeding.
Yep. Okay. That's really good advice. That's awesome. So thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. You've given me some food for thought, most definitely, with leveling. So, so yeah, it's been wonderful to hear that. So, Stone, anything from you?
No, I'm just like still shocked with all that that you keep it's in amazing. Your head. I don't think I've ever been at that point. I mean, I played for a long time, but I don't remember things as well, I guess, anymore. Too damn old.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, I leveled up a lot of characters, and you know, I'm just used to remembering stuff like that. So
yeah. Awesome. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for once again joining us and to sharing your experience. It's really fun to hear, and you know, good luck. We wish you all the very best with going from where you are currently, and you know, if I just feel like it's a definite thing that's going to happen for you, because you just have got such a way with knowing exactly what you want to do with your character. So that's inspired me to be a little bit more, I need to plan a little bit better. So thank you so much. That's awesome.
Well,
alrighty.
Yeah. Thank you.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go into some news in the world of Warcraft. So we've got Noble Garden coming up. So Stone, do you want to tell us what the go with Noble Garden is, please?
I don't mean to interrupt real quick. Is it okay if I go? Because my mom made me a steak.
Sure.
Is it okay if I go eat the steak, I come back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Food good. Okay. Steak good.
There's mashed potatoes too.
Oh.
Ooh, nice.
Noble Garden runs starting Monday, March the 28th, runs through to Monday, April the 4th, so it's only 1 week. Basically, Noble Garden chocolates are kind of yes and no. Yes, you can use them to heal yourself up. However, they do provide a spirit buff and all that, which is not okay, so you have to right-click that off. There are themed clothes that you can get. They're all okay because it's all white gear. So basically spring robes, tuxedo shirts, dress. There's like a dress and a spring circlet. The spring circlet provides a +2 bonus to your armor, but it's not an enchantment. So it's okay because it's the same as the hunter bow that gives you the +5 frost damage or something like that. So it's like the same thing, right? And you can buy these spring circlets with 50 Noble Garden chocolates. So if you want to get a little bit of extra bonus armor, I guess you can do that. There are 2 pets and amount that you can buy with the chocolates, and just because you can buy the pets doesn't mean that you're allowed to use them. The egg basket, it's a gray area. It provides a speed boost. However, it's only a speed boost in the area where there's eggs. So, and it's also only usable when the Noble Garden event is going. So I don't know if it's allowed or not. I think it's, because it's white, I think it's okay. However, we have said no to white stuff before, where like the glider and the shieldtronic, whatever it is, right? So the big thing between those and this is that this thing is gear that you have to equip. The other stuff is not gear. It's things that you keep in your bag to use. So that's why I kind of think it's okay. In either case, you won't get dinged for it, so it's up to you at this point, I think.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, it's only a week, so you better get moving on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, are you going to be running Noble Garden on any of your challenge tunes at all?
I probably not. If I happen to, well, actually, I have a priest that, because my priest died the other week, and if I happen to be playing that one again, I might run him through.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. We'll see how it goes. I mean, at this stage, we don't know if there's any change up from last year. So I haven't seen anything on Wowhead.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from Wowhead, but on the Monday when Wowhead publishes their guide, I will be publishing a article on our website that covers everything. Yep. So you can look forward to that on Monday. Oh, great, Easter Monday. All right, some more explaining to Carrie. Great.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out with Noble Garden, but I'm always looking forward to running around picking up chocolate, so that sounds like fun. Now, BlizzCon dates?
What? BlizzCon dates. Okay, BlizzCon so dates? They were posted for a fraction of a second last Tuesday and then was immediately removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
I
MMO Champion
missed all this.
MMO Champion snapped it up, and the dates that were shown were November the 4th and November the 5th. Mm-hmm. There, I believe, Belle from Pwncast was tweeting with Blizzard about the dates, and they said just wait a little bit longer. So I have a feeling that it's going to be announced this Tuesday. And some poor person over there mixed the weeks up, and they thought it was supposed to be this past week, but no, it's supposed to be the next week. So I kind of think we're going to find out this coming Tuesday that the dates are officially November 4th and 5th. It doesn't really matter to me. I already have my room booked. I booked like five different weekends because just to make sure that I could get something around that time. So I can refund them ASAP once we know the dates for sure.
Yeah. But, okay. All right. Yay. Well, I mean, surely there must gonna be there. The official announcement.
Yeah. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
It's due for it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens Tuesday. Yeah. So hopefully they can have all the realms sorted out with all the fun issues that we've been having. The past week has not been fantastic.
Yeah, and that's because of the update to the BattleNet launcher, right? I thought that there's something going on. Like, I thought they did an update last week.
I don't know. I had massive problems in game so it's all been a bit crazy. Problems. No, so, not really sure. But yeah, it's not been much fun. I know for some people, especially when you're jumping servers to get to your challenge tunes that aren't on your main server. So but anyway, we'll see how that goes. Site news.
Yeah.
What have we got?
Okay. Legion. So Legion rules and beta. So we are very close to beta. Once we get there, we're going to be concentrating more on the rule changes because, once they get into beta, the likelihood of Blizzard making a major change will be gone. Okay, so you know how we're hoping that we won't be forced to pick, you know, frost or fire, you know, and all that stuff. Well, once we get into beta, guaranteed they're not going to revert that back. I mean, I really don't think that they're going to change that now. So once we get into beta, we are going to be discussing more of the rules on what we will do. Because at that point we're pretty much locked down. There is some discussion about DKs. Last week I think I said that we were going to yellow flag them because, you know, now it's going to be really, really easy for them to get out of their starting zone. And the reason for that yellow flag was because back in the day they were already flagged because they darted off the challenge at level 55 when the cap was 85. Now the key thing there was that the DKs were also put into the same group and list, so you could you would have Death Knights there in the same list as like a priest and all that. So that is now changed. We're we have them in a completely different list. So I think what we're going to do is that we're going to keep them green flagged and just have them go. And mm-hmm. we will be recording the level that you were when Warlords ceases to exist. So the day that Blizzard drops server, or you know, shuts down, basically I will record where everyone is, and when mm-hmm. we launch again with the new stuff, you will see, well, Jim leveled up from 1 to 85 with our old rules, and then he leveled up from 85 to max with our new rules. So you will be able to see that point, okay?
So, yeah.
If you have an opinion on it, we do have a Iron Man and Legion thread in the forums. I have been doing testing, just seeing what will change as far as we are concerned. I've not been doing any testing for the new stuff. So I've only been testing for level one stuff, right? Because that's where we're more concerned with right now. So if you have any opinions on it, you can post in the forums.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's an interesting one. I've got Perry _ TP says, man, how do people even get out of the DK starting zone?
It is hard. The challenge? There are some people that play this game a lot, and they know that zone, and they can get out pretty good. However, it is very, very hard to get out. Very hard.
How many have you done? How many DKs have you done?
I know I've done 13 to 14 DKs, maybe 15, and I've got two out.
Yeah.
And, wow. And sometimes it's just luck, because you need to hope that your pats come by and help you, because you don't have anything on and you're screwed, right? So, so that's that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Patreon, what's going on?
Okay, so very small. We did talk about it a couple of weeks ago. We wanted to do something. It's live, kind of. We do have something up. We just don't have any rewards up yet. However, I have sourced out some shirts for people that wanted shirts, and I'm just waiting back for artistic proofs to come back, and I've been told, quote-unquote, soon. And when that happens, honestly, we will just put a link up on our website, and that will be the end of it. And because, like I said before, I don't want to spend tons of time trying to talk about this kind of stuff, because I feel that I think we're kind of in a good spot, and mm-hmm. I'm not, oh my God, please give me money, I need it. I'm not there. I just, you know, it's there. So you could actually go search and donate if you want. It's up to you. But once it's up, I will tell you guys that yes, it's up, and I'll put a link up on our website, and then that'll be it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Asmund Gold's back. Hello.
How was your steak? You're muted, man.
Well, how about now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh man, it was so good. It was good. So good. I mashed potatoes. I got some A1 steak sauce, salt, and pepper. Ate it all up. It was so good. I got a big old box of snacks next to me. I might wash it down with some cotton candy. Not sure. Let's see. But anyway, got some Dr. Pepper too. I got a mini fridge on one side of me and a big old box of Tupperware box of snacks.
Oh,
wow.
Can you believe I'm not fat? Can you believe I'm not fat?
I'm.
That's awesome. All right. Well, okay. Welcome back.
Absolutely fair. Yeah.
I would take off my shirt and let you see that in about 15 years, this is what you will turn into.
I'll enjoy Dude. It while it lasts. Then.
Jeez.
So you guys have a Patreon set up?
Yeah, it's there. We don't have a website link for it. There's nothing really to reward anybody yet. We're working on that stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking about setting up one of those myself. One of the people that that works at the website contacted me and kind of gave me some of the details and everything. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a pretty good way because, you know, I think it's like, well, it's a cliche, starving artist, right?
Yep.
And in a lot of ways, like, we kind of are artists in our own way. And so it's very hard to kind of, like, make a living and make things count. And so Patreon is a really good way to support people who you really do care about what they're doing and you want to make sure that they keep doing it. Yeah. And, you know, if you support this show, you should support it with Patreon. You know, watch things without ads. There are, I think, like a good half a dozen people I've definitely, like, very strongly considered supporting through Patreon as well as donating to. And it really makes all the world a difference because if you've got, let's say, 100 viewers and each guy chips in maybe $5 or so, that totally makes the, that really makes a difference for people. And so if you're fans of a certain show and they have a Patreon, they have some sort of way where you can, you know, support them. And, you know, with Patreons, in their case, you can maybe get something out of it and interact with the people that, you know, create the content that you like. You know, it's definitely something that I would recommend doing.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you. That is really good advice. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about the state of the challenges.
All right.
So what have we got
this is our week? Again, we've changed to like a top 10 changers. So anybody that's either died or increased in level or is lost, we'll take the top 10 because the lists were too big to do everybody. So coming in at number 10 is Darster at level 73, Kavara at level 74. Sorry, this is for Iron Man. Iron Moon, level 75. Iron Rock died at level 75. Damn. Mm-hmm. Lifester hits I know. Lifester hits level 76. Ironster hits level 80, so he's in there three times. All those stirs, that's the same guy. Dread Jitters is level 80. There's this guy here, level 82.
Yeah,
who is that? I don't know. Asmongler 2? Yeah.
That's probably a shooter.
Yeah, baby.
Take him off the list.
Calindral, level 87, and Iron Revenge is level 89. So we've got no new irons this week. Bloodthirsty, we've only got four. Killer is now lost at level 42. Xayah Blood at level 44 died. Kuma hits level 49, and Ironed K. Ironed, I guess, Killer, maybe. Level 56. Pacifists, for everybody that can do this, I applaud you because I cannot.
Yeah.
Chloroform dies at level 35. Kratora.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah. Kratora hit level 37. Feralian hits level 47. Patuli 4 hits 48. Kuma hits 52. Tani hit 54. Peacely 56. Syndra 64. Fulman 77. And Tokiv hit level 86 for the pacifist. Wow. He could be our first pacifist. Possibly.
Wow.
I don't want to jinx him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's one thing I wanted to say just as we're done here. There's going to be some maintenance happening on our website. My host decided to change some of the ways for me to access my stuff, and it's kind of cheesed me off. So I need them to change things back, and I don't know when that's going to happen. I think I'm going to send in the email and be like, okay, go. And then it could be anywhere from then to like 3 hours. I don't know, but I will tweet for sure. So you will know that if it's down, it's on purpose.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And that's it.
No. Excellent. All right. Well, now that we've got Asmongold back, let's talk about our week in WoW. So
good timing.
What else have you been doing, Asmongold? What's your plan for the next week?
Let's see. So today I'm probably gonna go to Jack in a Box later. Then tomorrow I'm going to go to Wendy's. Then might go to the corner store after that. Then that'll be my Monday. So raids will be almost reset. Might do some mount runs.
Mm-hmm.
Might get a pizza too. Tuesday, raids reset. That's another 100,000 gold for me from sale runs. Not too bad. And then And then I usually get pizza on Tuesdays too. And I'm trying to think
any
if there's anything
else noteworthy.
Any
particular type of pizza? Like,
well, usually I do Domino's sometimes. Usually do Domino's. And then other times I do this one place called Pizza Patron. And they're real good. They're
Pizza
real good.
Pizza Patron.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And those are my big plans. I've been playing another game. I said my mention this earlier, Black Desert.
Yep.
And I've been playing that I've been playing that like a fiend. Okay, I'll tell you guys the truth. I'm playing that like a fiend. Like, I think I put like 10 days, like 10 actual, like 24 hours times 10 into that game in the past 2 weeks. Like, is that even possible? God. Like, I don't know how to do the math, but I've been playing that game constantly. Okay. And I've had a lot of fun with it. And so I'm probably going to be spending a lot of time doing that. And, you know, one thing I'm definitely am glad is out of the way is doing a lot of those quests in Hyjal for my Iron Man character. And so I usually, like, on Saturdays I do it, so 1 week from now I'll be doing that again. But I've got a really busy week in front of me, as you guys can see. So I've got to make sure that I go to bed early and get up early so I can stay on top of it.
Excellent. Dang. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
What about you guys?
Stone, what are you up to?
I've been fighting gulls. I put grass seed. Listen, I put grass seed down. This is what happens when you get old and you have a house and you want to take care of your lawn. You put down the grass seed and the seagulls come down and they're just like, hey, baby, free food. And I'm like, I didn't spend all that cash for you to come down and eat it. So I've been sitting out there with my hose and I wait for them to land and I spray them and they run and they fly away. So we've been having a little bit of fights there, but...
Yeah,
freaking gulls. So honestly, I've been doing more mount runs than anything this week. I did do my Iron Mage and I got it up to like level 19. It's nothing big. It was just, you know, I wanted to get onto one tune and that was the one I got. I did get a mount. I got the infinite time reaver. I was like,
wow.
What?
Congrats,
and
dude.
I was in Utgard, you know, and off of Svala's Sorrow Grave, and I looted her, and there's this purple thing, and I'm like, why isn't it looting? What's going on? And I look at it, I'm like, why is it just stuck there? I'm like, oh my god, I got the mount, and I'm clicking it, and it won't loot. I'm like, oh my, no, I've won the loot, but it's not going in my bags, like, what's going on? So I'm clicking like a fiend, I'm like, loot, and it finally looted, and I was like, oh my, I never even thought that it would actually drop, because it's one of those that are very rare to get. I thought I would have gotten the ones that you have to save up the coins for first, but good lord,
wow.
So that I was like, thanks,
like, I still don't have that one.
I am a mount collector, so this is my, like, I just, you know, when I saw that, I was okay, my whole week, I'm good. I don't care what else happens. Good. I didn't even have to... Yeah. If I couldn't loot that, I...
Put in tickets until they gave it to you.
Yep. I don't know what I would do. I would be pretty furious.
How many mounts are you at?
In the 290. I'm coming up to 300 without counting like the ones that count as two. Right, so
yeah.
I'm trying to get to the 300 mark.
Oh man, yeah, you've got more than me. Do you have the Elgon one?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I'm still working on that. I'm working on all the Pandaria ones. I've kind of been a little bit lazy with that.
That's my only Panda one. I don't have the others yet. I'm trying to. The one that really bugs me is the Anger one, because I like to be able to go kill on my own and not wait for a group. And I'm not a Beastmaster, so I can't do it on my own. So it's like, I just have to wait around for somebody else to come and help me. So
why would you not be able to do it if you weren't a Beastmaster?
Beastmaster Hunters are apparently the only ones that can solo it. Because it puts the MC on you.
Can't solo it?
I don't think so.
Oh, you can solo it on any class, by the way. I'm not going to plug my own video here.
Please, please.
But anyway, whenever he reaches about 20 energy, he casts an ability called Growing Anger. Yeah. Whenever Growing Anger is cast, it affects anyone who's within about a 40-yard radius. At that point, that person gains a 5-second debuff, and that debuff, whenever it expires, if you're close enough to Shaw of Anger, it mind controls you, and as you probably know, it resets the fight. Yeah. Whenever Shaw of Anger reaches 100 energy, he does Unleash Rage, and at that point, you can go in and fight him. So the strategy is really to fight him and blow all your cooldowns at the beginning, and at that point where all your cooldowns are done, you probably are about time to run out of range, let Shaw of Anger reach full energy, and then he'll basically, he'll do like his thing, and it'll do a pretty good amount of damage, but it's nothing big. And he'll also cast Seed at you, which deals increasingly more shadow damage. But as any level 100 character, and especially if you have any sort of a heal, it probably won't be an issue. And especially if you have an on-demand heal that's activated by killing a mob, because the small little mobs that he summons on you, you can kill them, and they'll give you like a victory rush proc or something like that. And so once he reaches 100 energy, go back in there, kill him, or not kill him, and hopefully kill him, but get him as low as you can, and then fight him for a little bit longer, maybe like 5 or 10 more seconds, and then run back out until he is about to cast Growing Anger. And then whenever he casts Growing Anger, move all the way out, disengage out, with post-haste glyph, or not glyph, talent now, so you can get as far away as possible. And it takes a few times to get it, all the... get everything down pat to where like you're used to doing it. But as I was able to do it as a warrior, so as a hunter, you should have no trouble whatsoever.
I run blood DK, so I should be able to then too.
You do it on DK?
Yeah, blood. Yeah.
Alex? Oh yeah, I guess if you were unholy, you could use the pet and have the pet tank it. But as a Blood Death Knight, you would have a really hard time doing it because they only really have Death's Advance and Unholy Presence. So I don't know about doing it on a Death Knight. That would be really hard to do. I guess it wouldn't, because you could go into Frostbeck and then use Glyph. Is it still Glyph of the Dark Sucker?
That's actually still a thing.
I think that's baseline, right?
Yeah.
Is that baseline? And you can use that just to heal up over and over and over by killing the ants, and you can do it indefinitely. So you should have really no trouble whatsoever killing the Shaw. Like anyone can kill it.
Okay.
Until I figured that out, though, it was no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. It's like if you know that one thing, and there's not a timer for it either. So you've kind of got to play it by ear and expect it.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing tonight, for sure. No, seriously, because it's one of the things that it drives me nuts, because I can do everything else on my own, right? And that's the only one I have not been able to do. So now I'm going to have to go back and give it a go. Thank you.
Do you know if you kite Nalak into the Shadowpan area, the guards will help you kill it?
Oh, does he? Because I just sit back and take
it. As long as you do 10% of his health, you still get the loot, and so that's really good with having alts and bringing alts in there for that extra chance.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the way I do it. Like the way I'm actually going to do it is whenever that amount goes on the black market auction house, is I'm gonna max bid it, and that's gonna be no big deal, right? Because even if you kill it every single week, it's got a 0.001 drop rate. It's like 1 in 2,000 or something like that, So it's just extremely unlikely that you're ever going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. But on your
That's
way
That's awesome
over,
advice. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can solo pretty much all of them. Same with Jakun. Like, I don't know if you guys have trouble doing the TOT or anything, but Jakun and Horadon are also very easily soloable.
Yeah, I have to do those two on 10. I think I have a harder time on 25, but I can go in on 10, and I'm fine.
I always do it on 10 because the 10 to 25 doesn't increase the mount drop chance.
And I figure we might as well.
1%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you. That's giving me some food for thought
as
well.
I know what I'm going to be doing because I.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay. So what else are you doing, Stein? Or is
that's it. I told you. I didn't really... I finished watching all my James Bond movies, and that was...
Okay.
That was pretty much it, man.
Yeah.
So... Nice. Yeah, I did not have a very active week besides really getting that one iron up a little bit and getting the Time Reaver and fighting freaking
Seagulls. Well, still, that's impressive. You got an amazing mount, so congratulations on that. Yeah. That's awesome. I'll tell you about my week. My week was so exciting. I lost 2 irons this week.
Fantastic.
Wow, how much fun. Oh, boy. What happened?
Yeah, I know. It was great. It was my human warlock. She was 37, and I was so close to dinging 38. that if I'd probably killed the thing that killed me, I would have got all my health back and been fine. But yeah, no, it wasn't very good. So she died, and she was my highest because I killed my 61 a month ago. So I was like, damn it. And then I killed my little dwarf warrior at level 18. So I was like, damn it. And it was in Deadridge.
Why did you go there?
I was doing just the little starting quest, you know, just the little kill the spiders and kill
And you died in there?
And the gnolls. Yeah, there was a pat with the gnolls there near that tower that I went around the wrong side. I just, by the time I had my camera out, like far enough out, but I hadn't got the right angle because I'd come in from the left hand side, and all of a sudden I was like taking this one down, and then the pat came, you know, from behind me. I was like, ah, no. And then I ran, and all of a sudden there was like all these other ones that started, and I was like, ha, dead. So but that was okay. I sat there and I was like, yeah, that was my own stupid fault. So totally deserved that, because I didn't do what I normally do and go around on the right side of where the gnolls are coming from the right hand side. So I thought, right, yep, okay, learn, you know, live and die and learn from that. So that's fine. So I rolled a Night Elf Hunter, and at the moment, so I've got her, I've played her pretty much straight to level 13 at the moment. And she's currently in Darkshore. Actually, no, a lie. I've just moved her over to go through. She's going through Goldshire to go over to Sentinel Hill. So I've taken her out of Darkshore because the quests are a little bit too high. So I'm coming over to go through Westfall and start on those. So she's getting there. And again, like Aswin Gold, like seriously, a hunter is just really good. Yeah. It just feels more powerful than the other classes that I've played. So I'm enjoying doing the hunter again. And it's a lot of fun. So I'm going to try and push her through. She was the only one. So I killed two, but I only made one. So it was really good. I didn't roll any more challenge turns this week, though I still have another 10 that are sitting there. But I did play my undead priest, and she went from 14 to 17. So I've taken her from Silver Pine over to Ghostlands, and she's currently running around Ghostlands at the moment. So she's going quite well for a priest. I've got my Power Word Shield and Smite. Smite. So that's...
you don't get a lot.
Smite's quite good.
No, it's but I mean, you don't get a lot of things to use. You're just using the same thing over and over again.
But for a little priest, like they do come across as a bit more powerful than I always thought they would be. Okay. So I'll just see where that goes with her. And again, just being very, very careful in Ghostlands because of those pats, the big level 21s or whatever, Lurzon and the abominations walking around. So again, just watching. The big thing I think sometimes is just watching where you position yourself and your camera to see what's around. So again, it's I like Ghostlands. I like the questing. You get so many quests in Ghostlands. It's quite amazing. But trying not to jump ahead and doing things that are a little bit outside, you know, a little bit above of what I'm doing. So but I did do some mount runs myself this week, and no luck on those. And I did pop into, because I'm working on the Nemesis in Ashran, and I popped into two Ashrans this week, and I'm working on the gnomes, and not one gnome in two Ashrans. There was not one single gnome, so I have no gnome kills. I'm like, really? Really? There's no gnomes? Like, there's humans and there's night elves everywhere and Draenei, but yeah, couldn't find any gnomes, so...
They're really small. They're hiding.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I've like, got my bars up, and I'm looking, and I'm looking. And I got into a really good Ashran as well. We were dominating quite well and killing left, right, and center. So I was getting a lot of kills, but yeah, just there was no gnomes to be found anywhere. So I was like, okay, this is going to take me a really long time. But yeah, it's been a good week. So I'm really happy with how my week's been. Cool. And that's it. So we'll just continue on with for the coming week. I'll just want to see where I can get my little hunter, my Night Elf hunter, and see where she's going to go. So really excited about that.
You said you lost your 61?
Yeah, I lost my 61 about a month ago.
Why don't you tell him how you lost it?
Yeah, how that happened.
Okay, so I was doing, and again, I should have known better, but I was doing some discovery over in, where was I? West Wetlands. Mm-hmm. And the, is it Bale Moden? The little dwarf place at the top of West Wetlands. There's an elite guard that sits right behind the flight path. And I was flying low because somebody told me when you're flying, you don't fly high, you fly low. And I, instead of going right and just going straight over Bale Moden, I came back left over the flight path and one shot me. And I just sat looking at my screen.
That's awful. For that's
about
awful.
5 minutes just going, do I laugh? Do I cry? Do I laugh? Do I cry? And that was a really big lesson learned. And you know what the funny thing is? I knew that there was an elite guard there because I had an issue months and months ago on when I was running one of my other toons and got too close and got killed by it. So why I did not remember that, and but I do now. I very clearly remember
that's brutal.
That. So.
Jeez, I'm sorry. Why do you guys call it Dead Ridge? Why do you guys call it Dead Ridge?
Because people always die there. We seem to lose a lot of tunes over there. Yeah. It's been very unkind to a lot of challenge tunes. I've lost two in Red Ridge myself, which isn't too bad, but I normally like to do the starter quest just to get in because that's normally not too bad, except this time I just, you know, I had a bit of a brain fluff and wasn't thinking coming around the wrong side. But if you're not careful, it can be quite nasty for toons. But I do like questing in Red Ridge itself. It's quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
it's one of my favorite zones. Like it, in my opinion, like you do have to do that one quest where you have to collect the key around all of the elite wargs. And I would say that's probably the most dangerous place. And then about halfway through the whole like Rambo quest line where you have to go into like the horde camp where there's all the elites there, I just move over to Duskwood at that point because it's just, it's not worth it. But before then, like it's pretty easy, I think.
Yeah. I enjoy on my Bloodthirsty. I had so much fun in Red Ridge itself because I wasn't worrying about the quests. I was just killing, you know, I was killing the gnoll dudes all over the place and the orcs, and then, you know, just running sort of back and forth, staying within, making sure they weren't too high level for me. And as a Bloodthirsty, I really enjoyed it. And as long as I watched the Pat up the top of, you know, the big dude walking around, she was Night Elf, so I just, you know, shadow meld. It was fine. And it wasn't a problem, but I really enjoy it for the Bloodthirsty itself. But I do love doing the quests in Red Ridge. It always takes me back. It still kind of takes
it's
me back.
It's the same for
to...
me. Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember like that little group of three orcs that whenever you went past the Lakeshire and they'd come out of fucking nowhere and kill you?
Oh, like, they were like up on the rocks, right?
But you guys,
oh, no, yes, no, no. Yes, yeah, there was one. There's one behind the boulder.
Like, level 20.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you come in there level 13. You're like, oh, boy, this is going to be so fun. And then you're like entering combat, and then you look behind you, and there's like three orcs coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, excellent, you're dead. I mean, because they're.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, you remember, like, there's no. Like, you don't have any, like, special abilities. You know, you can't fight two mobs at the same time that are your own level. You know, and it was awful. So, yeah, I mean, I really did enjoy Red Ridge. But one thing that I can give everybody as a bit of advice is whenever, because there's a point where you go into Lakeshire, and then you get an orb of control halfway through into the Null Camp, and then you can use that orb of control on one of the Ettins there. And those Ettins, you can have them with you for pretty much as long as you want. And so you can have them fighting stuff for you and pretty much kill everything for you, no big deal. So the Ettins really help you, and at the point where you get the help of like Keyshawn and everything, it's a complete joke. Like everything is just a complete joke because they pretty much kill everything for you. Like you can just stand there and do nothing. So yeah, I always really did like Red Ridge, and there's also a lot of rare spawns that are in the area that are kind of like outside of the normal questing pattern of somebody that would be doing it for with heirlooms, and so you've got a lot of those available to you as well. Okay. One thing you do need to watch out for, though, is whenever you take the boat, after you get all of Keyshawn's men and you go over to the boat to the other side of the lake, the giant, like, level 25 elite shark can actually hit you while you're swimming, while you're being taken from one side of the lake to the other on the boat.
What?
So, he hit me.
And, that hasn't happened to me. Half health oh, my God.
One hit or something like that. So you got to be careful. That's the only thing that's dangerous about that area.
Okay. I think I'm pretty sure there was a couple of quests that I was a little bit unsure of, so I didn't do them. And I've always said to Stone that whenever my gut says I'm not sure about something, I won't do it.
Just don't do it.
Because I normally end up dead.
Yeah.
So so that's interesting with the Ettins, because I normally don't do that. So now I will definitely look into that and utilize that, because that's a really, really cool thing to be able to do. So thank you for that. So I have my next one over there, I'll definitely look into it. Awesome.
I think they could possibly de-leash whenever you go into the cave to get the rubidium ore and also to kill the first gnoll guy. But you can use them to kill Yowler. You can take them all over the place. And so that helps you out a lot. Another one I guess you would have to watch out for is whenever you have to fight the Blackrock Trappers, which is right after you reach the other side of the lake, because they are invisible. And at that level, the game's already kind of halfway expecting you to have a couple of greens, and so things are kind of getting a little bit more difficult. So you need to make sure that because they're stealth, they're hard to see, and make sure that you tread very, very carefully.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Excellent. Really good advice. Thank you. I will definitely look into that the next time I go, which won't be too far, because with my hunter being in Westfall, I will probably, I will eventually get over there. So, yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's go on to Chit Chat. So, Chit Chat is where we ask anything. People can ask us questions about the challenges, share your tips and tricks, or warn about potential disastrous areas and quests and or fun things like that. So, we got an email from Cole Mays, and they say, "Hello, I'm extremely interested in doing the Iron Man challenge on a warlock and have started leveling him. But if I get him to 100, will I be able to gear him out for raiding and still remain on the Iron Man challenge list without being red flagged? Thank you, Stone."
This also applies to question number two. So, what do you do with level 100s when you hit cap? They're your trophy. That's it. So
that's it.
We don't have anything that stops tracking it once you hit max. So you can delete it, then it'll be gone. But or you can take it and take it into raids and stuff, then it will eventually get flagged. It's supposed to be a trophy. Now, we could stop tracking you when you hit max. However, that would mean you wouldn't be able to take your 100 and carry on. right? So
okay, and the next
for the next expansion. So
yeah,
and then it would force people to start back from one again. So
yeah,
it's like you go from. So basically, we want to let you carry on. So mm-hmm. we keep tracking you. So yep. basically, when you hit max, keep it as your trophy. And yep. that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's fairly good. All righty. So do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, so question number three was, is the Feline Furstel from Facebook. Question, Mike. Okay, we're going to do this again. Question, my Iron Man character just got a pair of rhinestone, I like stone, sunglasses, blue quality item, but only eye level one with no stats on it. Purely cosmetic. Is she allowed to wear them? No. It's a blue. I don't have it as part of my extra gear that you're allowed to wear, and... in fact, I was hoping Blizzard would let us transmog white gear. So far, from what I've seen, you can't because white gear is not soulbound. And, apparently once you transmog it, it's got to be bound or something. So yeah. I'm still trying to bug them to be like, hey, let us transmog white gear at least, man. Come on, please. So I want to get rid of the code that I have to allow you to wear blues and all that stuff because it messes around with other people wearing bad blues that you're not supposed to wear. And it makes my code that much more work to deal with. So
okay.
when Legion comes, the odds are I'm going to be removing that piece of the code anyways, regardless if Blizzard gives us the transmog stuff, just to make things easier on my side.
Well, the rules say that you're not supposed to use any gear that's above white quality, right?
Right. Yep.
So the mm-hmm. rhinestone glasses are blue quality.
Yep. So
yep. that's above white allowed. Quality, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's against the rules.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody sent that in as a question.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah. Transmog Sonzi from the chat room says, but can you transmog green plus gear into white gray in Legion? So can you do it the
I don't think
other
so.
Way around?
Do you guys I have the alpha?
I do have the alpha, and I've been trying to test this stuff out, and I don't think you can equip green gear and transmog it to white. So no.
Not that okay. I'm aware of. I went through it and I didn't see any option to be able to do that.
Yeah.
There was just like, I think at the point they had just a complete database of every single two-handed sword that was available in the game, because on the transmog list that had like it had literally Frostmourne, right? And I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure you're not going to be able to transmog that. And a couple of other things that aren't supposed to be available in the game. So I'm almost certain that they're not lifting any sort of transmog requirements in Legion. They're just making it done through a different system.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All righty.
But I'm still going to bug the heck out of them. I will buy them beer. Please, I will buy your beer. Make the change for us at BlizzCon. I will buy you beer at BlizzCon.
Which change?
Letting us transmog onto white gear. I really want it. I really want it. Just to make my life easier.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's it.
Now, the other thing, A.H. Sean R. says, the tune that they're recording for YouTube right now is a 32 Night Elf Hunter.
Okay.
Being tracked, very enjoyable experience, mixed with stress of almost failing. So, totally nice. Understand that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going through the chat right now?
I'm just looking at the chat room now. And there's lots of things that people are saying about transmog. Yeah, transmogging legendaries they want. Perry says, I earned it. I earned it. Let me transmog my legendaries. Hmm. Yes, totally understandable. And I think that's fair enough.
I hope they never do that. I hope they never do. Personally.
Really? Yeah,
everybody's going to be going around with Thunder Fury.
Yep.
Come on. Like, yep. It's just like there should be some things that you shouldn't be able to transmog to. You know, I don't want to have everybody going around with Thunder Fury, Warg Waves of Azanoth. And this is coming, by the way, from somebody that has all of them. Okay, I just don't think it's a good idea. And if you guys want to be able to transmog your legendaries, there's a way to do that. What you do is you use II's Sky Mirror on yourself. You target yourself while you have the legendary equipped, and then you can equip your original weapon, and you still use the legendary in combat. It's very simple. So there you guys go.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a cool one.
Dang.
Alrighty. Didn't know that one. Relador says, I have a question. I reached level 70. And since I've never done Howling Fjords on Alliance before, I thought it was a good idea to run into the Lich King in the Spirit Realm, since I knew there was an RP event if I did so. The problem was that the Insta killed me after it, which is what we were talking about earlier.
I said, should have been paying attention.
That's it. That's it. So that's definitely not a good one to have done. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's dead. Yep.
Okay. Rallador.
David Duhunta was, can you give some advice on what zones quest you should never go into? But you already kind of did that.
Grizzly Hills, the Frostbite Trappers, avoid that entire area. Definitely. Well, it really kind of depends. Like these are just like things that are just straight up bugged. Howling Fjord is another one. Don't do the Lich King area. You can do the first Vicral quest, I'm pretty sure. And you can also do the Big Lebowski quest too, but after that, I would not recommend staying there. Well, I think you can also do the Walrus guys, but I also would watch out for that too, because there is an elite on one of the ships that you'd have to watch out for. Those are the two main those are the two main ones that like the abilities are just completely bugged, and so that's really what I would watch out for is bugs. But outside of that, everything is pretty much what you make of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's and again, you've given some really awesome advice today. So we do really appreciate it. So thank you so much for that, because it's got my brain thinking more so in a different, you know, just in a different way to how I've been playing it. So at least now I can go, excellent. I'll got a bit more food for thought. So I appreciate that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Now.
Yeah, so we're going to do our wrap-up now. So thank you, guys. Thank you, chat room. That was awesome. Stone, next show, what are we doing?
Our next show will be in 2 weeks. So I know we've been going back-to-back weeks. We've been trying to fit in as many people as we can, but we're going to take a week off because fatigue. Fatigue is a thing. So we're going to go back to, I think we're going to be back to once every 2 weeks. Until we need to squeeze people in again, which could be, hey man, we might get a show in next week and Lita will kick my arse. Sorry, Lita, but it is what it is. So our next show right now is Saturday, April the 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is Sunday, April the 10th, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, which is also 12 a.m. Central European time, and we will be joined by the Iron Veteran and GM of the official Iron Man Guild, Deadster. So he's been around for a long time, and we're going to be asking him all kinds of stuff and what he does.
So, very exciting. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you. And again, Asmongold, thank you so much for coming and having a chat with us today. We really appreciate it. So can you let people know where they can find you and get in contact with you, please?
Well, thanks a lot for having me. I've really enjoyed it. The challenge has been definitely something off the beaten path for me in terms of what I do in World of Warcraft. So I do appreciate you guys curating it and doing all that stuff for the website and everything. If you guys want to find out you know, more about me, you can, I mean, honestly, just Google Asmongold. It's a whole lot of me. It's great. But you can look on youtube.com/Asmongold, twitter.com/Asmongold, askfm.com/Asmongold, which Perry is complaining that I haven't answered for 3 weeks, which is completely true. And also, let's see, what are some of the other ones? Facebook.com/Asmongold, but I know people wouldn't want to actually have their real life persona associated with me. I mean, come on, let's be real. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, twitch.tv/Asmongold.
Nice.
There we go.
Excellent. All right. And we will make sure that we've got all of that information up on the website as well.
And if you want to find out where the website is, go and check out wowchallenges.com. You can also contact us at our email, which is podcast@wowchallenges.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/wowchallenges. You can check out the show on YouTube at youtube.com/wowchallenges1. That's the number one. And remember, come catch us live at twitch.tv/wowchallenges.
And you can find me on Twitter at wowchallenges.
Yay!
Yay!
And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at LeaderWow. And if you want to listen to more of me, you can check out Behind the Avatar, Corpse on Radio, and Geektopia podcasts. So we once again have to say thank you to Mark Conan, who does our intro, which is fantastic. And if you want to contact Mark Conan, he's at Mark Conan Wow on Twitter. And you can also find him. He's part of the team of Torrent Think Tank with Jules over there. So if you want to contact him, go there. And that's it. That's the show, everybody. So thank you so much.
We did it.
Asmongold, thanks for coming, man.
Oh, we did it. Oh, is it off?
No. We're okay, going to say your goodbyes.
I'm going to take my pants off. That's good.
Oh, I'm going to be taking my pants off, too. So I guess we'll see you all next time, and that's it. See, I'm going to play the outro now.
Yeah. Damn. Thanks a lot for having me. I do apologize if I said a couple of profanities. I honestly forgot.
That's okay.
But, yeah, it's been exciting.
No worries. Okay, here we go. I've got to play it.
The WoW Challenges podcast is a World of Warcraft gaming podcast produced by Stone and Leta. Copyright 2016 WoWChallenges.com. Portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment. The music used for the show belongs to Kevin MacLeod, and you can find more of his great stuff at incomnitech.com. No copyright infringement is here.